Welcome to this week's episode of Drive the Bid, the automotive podcast brought to you by AutoHunter.com,
your destination for online collector car auctions.
Hosted by Diego Rosenberg and Derek Shakey. Drive the Bid starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Derek and Diego here. As you can tell, we're doing something a little different for this week's podcast. We are here at the 2024 Barrett-Jackson Scottsdale Auction. Now, there are plenty of reasons why people call this the ultimate automotive lifestyle event. There is something for everyone here. Of course, there are cars, and we've got exotics, trucks, SUVs, modified vehicles, classics, American Muscle, you name it, it's here. Beyond that, there's memorabilia like antique signs and gas pumps, there's accessories, there's model cars and collectibles, clothing, plenty of food, stuff for the kids, ride-alongs, live music, and plenty of adult beverages.
What he said.
Yeah, exactly. I have not had one yet, so let's just keep that in mind. So what we're gonna do here is show you just some of the cars that are available at the 2024 Barrett-Jackson Scottsdale Auction, and there are plenty to choose from. I understand you've got some on your list, Diego.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, that remains to be seen. I know there are some that are on my list, so let's start off. So right there in the middle is an automotive icon that a lot of people are aware of, the Mercedes-Benz 300 SL. Now, the catch to that is not everybody who knows about that car and loves that car has been able to see one in person. That's because they only made 1,400 of them over the course of their production run in the 1950s. Now, we're lucky enough to be in the presence of this one, and this one has gone through hands over the decades and through collections, but fortunately, in recent years, it was treated to a three-year frame-off nut and bolt restoration to return it to its former glory. It started off in silver. It's been refinished in silver. Now, the interior has been changed. I think originally it was a blue leather. It's been converted to have a natural leather interior, but there's also an alternative option. It can also be fitted with the available plaid seats, which have this beautiful shade of green in them, just to change things up a little bit. Now, like any high-end restoration should have, this comes with plenty of records, thousands of photographs, and all of the invoices associated with the restoration of this automotive icon. And speaking of icons, next to it is something quite different. It's a supercar, a hypercar, obviously, an icon in its own right, but obviously more modern. That is a Bugatti Chiron. That is a huge numbers car, 8-liter W16 quad turbo, all-wheel drive, 7-speed dual clutch transmission. And as far as other numbers, huge top speed. When you convert from the kilometers per hour, 420, to miles per hour, that comes out to 261 miles an hour, 0 to 62 miles an hour in 2.4 seconds. And that one, I'm sure you'll be able to see in these insert shots, is finished in an exposed carbon fiber. So something a little different. You know, hypercars these days, they have carbon fiber bodywork, but this one, you can actually see it. There's not paint to obscure it. So you see it in its natural element, if you will. And next to all of those is another hypercar, Porsche 918 Spyder. This one is finished in a paint-to-sample acid green, and among other options and accessories on it, this has got the lightweight magnesium wheels. Like I said, there's plenty of options here, so we're gonna move on down the row.
Okay, Derek, I know you wanted to talk about this Lexus here. Now, the LFA, I had no idea there was a special edition.
Yeah, so this is a Nürburgring edition LFA. So these, you know, overall they made 500 LFAs, far fewer Nürburgring package cars, and of those, an even smaller amount for the North American market. And then if you drill down even further on the LFA registry, they only made seven for the North American market in in this color orange. Now, as the name implies, Nürburgring package, you know, there's a focus on aerodynamics and the suspension. So this has been lowered a little bit, I think 10 millimeters, and then it's got some carbon fiber aero bits on it. What you can tell right off the bat, in contrast with just a regular LFA, if there is such a thing, is that this has a fixed rear wing on the back. It also has 10 more horsepower. So the 4.8 liter V10 that Lexus developed with Yamaha has 562 horsepower in this application. Now, this being an older hypercar, it doesn't have a dual clutch gearbox. This is actually a single clutch six-speed Eisen transmission.
Do you know how many miles this one has?
Not off the top of my head, but what I can say for pretty much all of the cars that I've seen in this area, very low mileage. Like, if they look like they're factory fresh, that's pretty much because they are. I mean, there's one further down that we'll get to in a little bit that has 41 miles on it.
Okay. So that Lexus over there is a standard LFA.
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's not the Nürburgring package, but still 552 horsepower. You get that really wild show car styling, the three exhaust pipes and the triangular layout there. Yeah, very close sibling to this.
So the Nürburgring edition, if I pronounce that correctly, I know the racetrack, the test track in Germany. Was this a regular production package, or was something that appeared later in the LFA's incarnation?
That I'm not sure of. I think it probably appeared a little bit later. But yeah, very limited production, and then yeah, particularly in this color, okay. In the single digits.
So they have production records you can get online that show the colors and how many they made.
Yeah, there's an LFA registry. I mean, just like there are with a lot of, you know, high-end cars, there's people that document it, so.
So I'm guessing this is probably a standard Lexus color that was available and not some custom order color, since they made several of these.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the case here, yeah. Okay. But if you do happen to see an LFA and then a Nürburgring edition on top of that in the wild for, you know, whatever reason, good chance it's not going to be in this color.
Gotcha.
But we're seeing it here, and so are you all out there.
Shall we go on?
Yeah. Plenty to see here. Like I said, you know, new Ferrari hybrid, three electric motors, 986 horsepower, the SF90 Stradale. This is actually a Ferrari Challenge race car, as you can tell. Huge wing. Not street legal, though, unfortunately. But
oh, really?
Any private racers out there, this is available. Like Diego was talking about earlier, the regular LFA. This is the car with 41 miles on it. This is an Audi R8 GT, V10, of course. Very low miles. We've got a GT3 RS, RS Porsche. Maserati's newest supercar, the MC20.
These are nice.
Yeah,
some
especially
of the colors
this color.
This color is nice, but I've seen some colors online that are absolutely beautiful. You can get all these different stripes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you could just outfit them way you like.
I mean, this one, as nice as the color is, it's like a pearl white. It seems almost plain. What color is the interior?
I think it's a blue.
Black with the blue, maybe? It's black with blue trim.
Yeah, kind of coordinates with the wheels and the brake calipers.
And here's a car that's after my heart. I believe this is the anniversary Countach. They had some, maybe Lamborghini 35th anniversary or something like that. Let's see, 64, 74, 84, 25th anniversary maybe. This came out in 89, I think. When these came out, I thought these are the coolest, but when you look at stuff like the skirts here, I don't know what to call it. I mean, I don't even know if those scoops are functional. I would think they're functional, but who knows? But at the time, I thought this was cool, but in the magazines, they kind of said it was tacky. And now that I'm older, I think it's a little bit tacky. I think I prefer the purity of the older ones.
Oh, okay, I get
now
you.
Now that I'm older.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn on it because I like the audaciousness, the boldness of the, you know, the spoiler and all the body add-ons, but there is a cleanness and a purity to the original Countaches. But yeah, again, I keep saying it, something for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, if you like the over-the-top styling, there's that. If you like the pure lines of the early ones, there's those as well.
And you know, I don't have much experience driving these exotics, but I have this impression there's something endearing about driving a car that has, that its mechanical complexity makes it difficult to drive versus newer cars like this Lamborghini here is has computers and everything else. You know, you can have twice as much horsepower. The camshafts are probably more radical, but it has air conditioning and you can go to Circle K with it.
Yeah.
This Countach, you can't really. It's a little bit more difficult.
Well, and another big difference is rear view cameras. So I've seen online, you know, for those of you out there who don't know, one of the, I guess, signature ways of reversing in a Countach is people will open the driver's door, kind of sit half in, half out of the car on the door sill and look behind them and back into a parking spot or wherever they need to go. It's very low tech, very manual, as opposed to all the technology you get in the new Lamborghinis.
So how about now I show you some other cars that, let's say, lean more towards the Stars and Stripes?
Sounds good, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So now we have here a 1971 Plymouth Hemi Cuda. It's basically a Plymouth Cuda with the Hemi engine, as simple as that. The Hemi engine came standard with the shaker. Interestingly enough, the Dodge Challenger didn't come standard with the shaker with the Hemi. What's cool about this car is that it's everyone's favorite color. It's inviolet, FC7 is the code, more popularly known as Plum Crazy, which is what Dodge called it. This one has the painted grille, which was available. It came with some colors, like this one. You can see here it has the white billboard stripes, which is everyone's favorite stripe, it seems. Although this car, per the tag, on the fender tag, did not come with the stripe. But this car has two fender tags, so it has a nice selection of options. What do you think of this one?
I think it's pretty cool, yeah. And I remember from your education to me about these cars, you know, the billboard stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was available in white and black. I would say most purple cars out there, you probably find a black stripe, but this one's white, and I think it's cool, matching interior. Let's go on to this Yanko Camaro. So this is a Yanko Camaro. What this is basically is a Copo Camaro corporate office production order, maybe central office production order. I always screw this up. And online you see people screwing it up too. So I'm as guilty as anyone else and more guilty, in fact. So Chevrolet would not build a 427 Camaro. They had an edict about limiting cubic inches per car line. So the only way you could get a 427 was a Corvette or a big Chevy, like an Impala or Biscayne. The Copo system was for fleet orders. So what Chevrolet did is they kind of like broke the law. They had this little loophole in GM rules and they built approximately 1,000 Camaros and 427s. Now, Don Yanko in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania, which is near Pittsburgh, he had about 201, give or take. I'm sure the Chevy experts are going to send me nasty emails if I'm wrong. About 201 of these were Yanko Camaros. So basically, Don Yanko added the stripes along the side. The YC stands for YSC is Yanko Supercar, not Yanko Super Camaro, because you have other Yanko models with the YSC. So you got the side stripes, you got the monogrammed headrests, you got the 425 horsepower 427, but this one they rated a 450 just because.
But why not?
Yeah, but this one has headers, which you could get, you know, this is basically a factory car that you could have with dealer preparation. So some Yankos seem to be just regular 427 Camaros, and some of them have some options like the headers and a bunch of other things you can get. This car in particular is an automatic, which is quite rare among Yankos. Most of them were four speeds, but this supposedly is one of three that were campaigned by racers, this one in New Jersey. Yanko Camaros are also limited in different colors. This one is Daytona yellow.
Oh, okay.
So, up next, So this is a 1970 Ford Mustang Boss 429. This is everyone's favorite Mustang and probably the most valuable Mustang, although compared with Shelby's, I don't know. Probably Shelby's more valuable than this. They made about 500 of these. This color is called Grabber Green. And the reason for the Boss 429 was to homologate the engine for NASCAR. Now, in NASCAR, you don't find Mustangs. But the rules in NASCAR didn't really stipulate how the engine needed to be produced. In this case, to make the 500 limit, to make it legal for NASCAR, they put in the Mustang.
Yeah,
the
it's car already there.
The car racing was the Torino Talladega. Mm. So it's kind of unusual in that respect. The 70 was only available in Grabber Green, Grabber Orange, Calypso Coral. There's a blue, pastel blue. It's a very, very pale blue, almost looks white. I'm sure did I say Grabber Blue? I'm sure I'm forgetting something now, but they're limited. There is, I believe, one red that was built, but that may have been 1969. They made a little over 800 in 1969. But what's really unusual about the Boss 429, to me, that I find somewhat appealing, is that they're very subtle. In the era where everyone was putting stripes on cars, all they did was put these subtle Boss 429 decals on the front fender. So the car has presence in a way that is different than a lot of the striped cars at the time.
So it stands out in a low-key way, I guess.
Absolutely.
You could say.
Absolutely. And it just, like, the tires are beefy. You know, everything about this car says something. The problem with the Boss 429 is that it didn't run as well as it should have, stock from the showroom. Modify it and it's a different story, but Ford kind of undercarved it, undercammed it. I know they changed the cam mid-year because there were complaints about it. So this is a car that the engine is absolutely stuffed in the engine compartment.
Yeah.
To change this spark plug, you have to remove the master cylinder, or at least adjust it. So this car is a handful in many ways.
So yeah, I guess if you ever have to do an engine out service or anything like that, you get it back in there with some Crisco on the sides.
Something like that. I don't know. Absolutely.
Wow, yeah, that thing is all motor in there.
So, of the three, which one do you prefer? I mean, these are all pony cars from, there's Mopar, Chevrolet, or let's say GM, and Ford.
I love the white interior on that one over there, but I've got a soft spot for Mustangs. Even though I just sold mine, I've got a soft spot for those, so I'd have to pick this one.
Fair enough.
What about you?
I'm not a Chevy guy, and when it comes to Camaros, I prefer 67, 68 Rally Sports. I think Boss 429s are cool, but I think there are other Mustangs I'd prefer. I do like E-bodies, but I prefer mid-size cars overall as a rule. That being said, hand me Cuda, add a white vinyl top, I'll be okay with it.
There you go. Well, you got plenty of time to bid.
No. I don't have plenty of time to rob a bank.
Oh, nuts, yeah. Yeah, you'd have to request a day off for that.
Thank you very much for watching Drive the Bid podcast, powered by Auto Hunter. Be sure to press the subscribe button on YouTube so you can catch more of our podcasts. Any parting words?
In the meantime, yeah, just check out AutoHunter.com and ClassicCars.com, and we will see you next week on Drive the Bid.
Thank you.